Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Sean.
Sean says, "Hi, Nate and Ben. I feel burnt out at this point and need some advice. Before I took the official test, I was on fire. I loved drilling and would challenge myself to go on answer streaks. I would hit 20 or more five-star questions in a row, and I was averaging 173 on my last five practice tests. My official score for February ended up being a 166, which really bummed me out. After that test, my practice sections have been considerably worse. I make careless and sloppy mistakes. I just don't care, no matter how badly I want to. It feels physically impossible to get myself to study some days. I don't have much of a life outside of the LSAT, and I think that might be contributing to it. Is this burnout? Why am I seeing this regression in my studying? Thanks, Sean."
Sean, it sounds like you put too much weight on that one official test.
Nope.
It seems totally within your range of scores. If you were averaging a 173,
yep,
you got a 166. It sounds like it's on the lower end of your range. I'm sorry, that's not fun, but it's also totally normal.
Well, it's in the range of your last 10, right? Or it's in the range of your last 15, whatever those were. People get so attached to like their most recent, you know, it's like, where are we going to draw the line? You know how sports announcers are like, well, the Seahawks have never won a game when they're on the road trailing by 9 points. It's like, yeah, okay, you can carve it up. Like, yeah, your 173 on your last five practice tests does indicate that you had been improving, but it's an average and there's going to be ups and downs. And so that 166, as Ben said, is just well within your expectation. And ideally, you'd be able to be totally zen about it and just go, oh, okay, shit happens. The average of my last six scores is now 171.5. Or whatever it is.
Yeah. And my default presumption is to take the test five times officially. So I got four to go.
Right.
I'll be lucky if I get it done within the next two tests.
But you know what people do instead is Sean was like, well, I'm taking the February LSAT because I'm trying to squeeze in a late application, or I'm taking the February LSAT because I'm trying to get myself off the wait list.
Yeah.
Or I'm taking the February LSAT. I really hope that this is, I really want to be one and done. I just really don't want to take it again.
Yeah.
Well, the more you say that, the worse it's going to bode for you on that high stakes test. You're building up a single high stakes test instead of just treating the official test like it's just another practice test.
Yep.
And now you're bummed out about it. Okay. Where does Sean go from here? Sean says, I'm making careless and sloppy mistakes. I just don't care. Feels physically impossible to get myself to study some days. I don't have much of a life outside the LSAT, which I think might be contributing. What do you think? How does Sean dunk his head in a bucket of ice water?
Yeah. I would do two things. I would, one, forget about time sections, forget about practice tests. Just do even just a single LR question and focus on understanding it. Owning it, you know, get it right. And if you get it wrong, that's fine. Understand it, learn it, make sense of it. And then, schedule some things with your friends. Go do something.
Yeah, go for a walk. Like, get yourself outside. You do need a life outside the LSAT.
Yep.
You can't make the LSAT your entire life. You can prep for years, potentially. You can improve by 25, 30 points. You can make this a priority in your life, but we never are going to be asking you for 8 hours a day or even 4 hours a day, really. We want a high
one
quality.
To three.
Yeah.
And right now, Sean, don't worry about even 1 hour. Just do one question and own it.
Yeah. And if it feels physically impossible to get yourself to study, I do think you need to get your ass moving somehow. You know, I don't know whether you're doing any kind of fitness stuff, but I know for myself, if I'm in a mood, it's like, well, you need to get your heart rate up. Like,
yeah,
your whole physical and mental well-being is just going to be a lot better 30 minutes from now. If you could just go, whatever, go walk.
Walking is underrated.
Yes. Yes. Shit happens.
Yep.
It's you're going to make mistakes. We were just talking about it on the Thinking LSAT podcast, right? Jordan Spieth is going to slice it into the bunker every once in a while.
Yep.
But it's the recovery is actually more important than the avoidance of bad shots, because we know that we're going to hit bad shots. So how do you move on from that bad shot?
Yep.
That's really what's important, is that, you know, Sean's just got to figure out a way to begin again, essentially, to just be grateful for where you're at, Sean. I mean, the fact that you're studying for the LSAT puts you in the 1% of the 1% of all the people who have ever lived on planet Earth. I mean, by far, right? If you think about ancestors or even people on the globe today, of the 8 billion people on the planet, the people who are studying for the LSAT,
we have the opportunity to do that.
That's not just the 1%. That's the 1% of the 1%, even on planet Earth today.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're just like wildly lucky to be looking at this exam.
Yeah.
And if it works out for you, great. If it doesn't work out for you, you're still wildly fortunate compared to most people on Earth. So you've got to find a way to just kind of count your blessings, I guess, and shift your perspective.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.